The Bugle, audio newspaper for a visual world.
Hello, Buglers. I am Andy Zaltzman, and welcome to episode 4294 of The Bugle. It's another live Bugle special formed from two fantastic live shows in Birmingham and Cambridge. So sit back, or drive, or cook, or walk, or run, or carve your dinner, or do some advanced cardiovascular exercise, or examine the inner core of your human soul, or perform advanced topiary, or undergo a vasectomy, or complete your Machiavellian experiment to crossbreed a member of parliament with a dolphin, or drone on through your sermon whilst maintaining a vestige of eye contact with your congregation, or whatever you do whilst you're listening to The Bugle, and enjoy the show. As I said, we have for you this week a phenomenal three-quarters-ish of an approximate hour from our two shows over the weekend in Cambridge and Birmingham, brackets UK versions. In Cambridge, I was joined from America, or from the sea that keeps America at least partially penned in, by Josh Gondelman, who was quite literally on a literal boat, and Alice Fraser, who was accompanied by a very new human being, her own one. She didn't rent a baby just to look and sound cool. And in Birmingham, Neil Delamere was with us at the theatre, and NATO Green joined us live from San Francisco. So do strap in. Here comes issue 4294 of the world's leading and only audio newspaper for a visual world. Here it is. Any second now. Honestly, it is. Yep, there it is.
This is the show that is tying us level with episodes post-John Oliver leaving the show. I forget why he left. Things weren't going too well for him, actually. And he decided to quit comedy and get a regular 9-to-5 job. I think he was working as an accounts clerk for a Manhattan delivery firm and running a hot dog stand in the evenings.
I'd be surprised if he wouldn't actually answer the call and maybe come back for another episode. I'm sure he's well up for that.
I think he will.
That's bullshit.
That was the alternative title for this show when it launched, actually. So this is issue 4294. We are here at the Old Rep in Birmingham, a legendary venue. It's a wonderful venue. This, we played it on the last time we did live Bugles in this. That sentence just went out of control. We played here before. That's all you need to know. They've got some of the old posters backstage. If you'd been here in 1926 in February, you could have seen He Who Gets Slapped. a play of circus life by Leonid Andreev. did anyone here see that show when it was on or not? There's a few. Some of my demographic has got slightly older since I started doing the news because on Radio 4 and Test Match Special. What do you think that involved, Chris? He Who Gets Slapped. Are you trying to find out some info?
Yeah, it's a play in four acts by Russian dramatist Leonid Andreev, completed in 1915 and first produced in Moscow in 1915. Right. Immensely popular with Russian audiences. Remade as an American film. No, remade as an American movie, but silent. So they could have just kept the original version.
I'm absolutely intrigued by this now. Slapping in terms of Russia in 1915, slapping is about as friendly as it got, isn't it?
I mean, that's some heavy slapping.
Shot and dumped in a frozen river.
This 9th of March, it's National Procrastination Week in the USA. I was going to write something about that, but I thought the joke would be too obvious, so I didn't bother. On this day, in 1776, Adam Smith, the celebrity Scottish economist, published The Wealth of Nations. There he is. That big ad? Look at him.
Hopefully.
Huge buttons. I guess if you've got invisible hands, you need big buttons, because it must be quite hard to do them up.
I'll tell you where the wealth of nations didn't go. His wig budget. I'm sorry, I've been watching too much Drag Race lately. Watching a lot of Drag Race at home. Getting very catty about wigs.
The full title. Have we got any Adam Smith fans in? The full title was an inquiry into the nature and causes of the wealth of nations. Although the original title was Monies and Honeys, which was considered too racy even for the late 18th century. He wrote famously about the invisible hand. Which is supposed to guide the financial markets, make sure nothing goes too far wrong, self-regulating, benevolent force, the invisible hand, so you don't need any government intervention, state regulation. It's all very well in theory, but there is a significant problem with it as a theory, and I think we all have to ask ourselves a question. Please try to be honest with yourselves as you answer it. If you had an invisible hand... What would you do with it? there's an AI follow-up of the Wealth of Nations due out sometime in the next 10 seconds. Here it is. Yep, it's an inquiry into the nature and causes of the disappearing Wealth of Nations. Chapter 1, why you shouldn't leave your national economy in the hands of certifiable f***wits. Chapter 2, why is everyone such a f***ing prick these days? Chapter 3, grow the f*** up, you f***ing idiots. And Chapter 4, gee, seriously, guys, way to wazz your economic well-being up the wall to make ideological points, dickheads. So it's like Adam Smith has updated himself through AI. On this day in 1954, a legendary TV broadcast in the USA. See it now with Fred Friendly. Have we got there it is. Now, that might look like a friendly, a happy show. Does anyone know what See It Now with Fred Friendly actually was? No, it was an interview. It was a report on McCarthyism. a scathing attack on McCarthy and the anti-lefty witch hunts. And it was presented by a guy called Edward Murrow. And his conclusion, let's see how his words are shaping up today. He concluded, we must not confuse dissent with disloyalty. 0-1. We must remember that accusation is not proof. Snake eyes. That conviction depends on evidence and due process of law. It's starting to sound sarcastic now. We will not walk in fear one of another, swing and a miss, and we will not be driven by fear into an age of unreason. Edward Murrow, you hopeless idealist and certifiable f***wit.
Andy, Fred Friendly, more like Red Friendly, am I right?
Well, that's right. Well, it has actually come up. I'd like that on the screen.
Accusation is not proof. That is like, that's a beautiful idea. Donald Trump has been president of the United States, and we're now in a place where proof is no longer proof.
on this day in 1959, the Barbie doll made its global debut at the International Toy Fair in New York. Was that the original Barbie?
That is original Barbie.
Right. Also had a part in Neighbours, apparently. Barbie is obviously had the big biopic. Didn't know they had a shortlist of who to do a biopic of, and they chose Barbie ahead of Michael Gove and Terry Griffiths, the former world snooker champion. Would have been I'd have preferred to see that film.
Griffenheimer would have been such hype.
Barbie, also behind the 1980s pop hit I'm a Barbie Girl in a Barbie World, full title I'm a Barbiturates Girl in a Barbaric World. A heartrending neo-feminist rail against the impact of gender expectations on people's lives.
I want them to bring out a realistically aging Barbie.
It sounds a beautiful victory, but there is a slight chance that it would be depressing and that you would get a fully dead Barbie.
Children have to learn. Not everyone can have pets these days. yes, exactly. This is whose future we're doing this for. Top story this week, America is embracing the glories of democracy once again. NATO... you keep us up to date with all the wonderful goings on in American politics. You had Super Tuesday last week, the State of the Union address. I know you're, I think it's fair to say, not the biggest fan of Donald Trump.
That's safe to say.
Yeah. how have you enjoyed the past week?
This past week was Super Tuesday in America. When several states held primary voting to determine candidates for the general election, where Rocky Balboa and Apollo Creed have a rematch, but instead both Rocky and Apollo have similar yet slightly different degenerative bone marrow diseases and can only fight by seeing who has darker colored diarrhea. A new poll from the New York Times found that Joe Biden's disapproval rating has reached a new high, and he's lagging Trump in several swing states, but there's a bright side. The Biden campaign strategy to win elections by not giving people what they want is a success, in that the poll revealed a new phenomenon, what experts call, quote, double haters. That is, people who hate both of them but hate Trump a little bit more. And according to the Times, the candidate less disliked by double haters has won the last two presidential elections. So Biden says democracy is facing its greatest threat since the Civil War. And in that moment, the energy you want people bringing to the polls is, yeah, I guess, One surprise upset of Super Tuesday is that Arizona Senator Kristen Sinema dropped out of her campaign for re-election. Kristen Sinema was a Democrat. She switched to independent to run against another Democrat and a Republican election denier crackpot named Carrie Lake. Sinema, you may recall, is a Democrat who, with Joe Manchin, would frequently not vote with her party in order to prevent anything good from happening, but do it in a cute way. So if you're in the audience listening to me right now and you can actually hear me and you don't know who she is, Google Kristen Sinema thumbs down meme. And it's just her in a cute outfit with cute glasses giving a thumbs down to raising the minimum wage. She was a bisexual who did CrossFit and had fun hair and retro outfits like a boozy extra at a Mad Men party. And now that she's out of office, she has time to finally write that profile for the sex positive dating app Field that she's procrastinating, and I found a draft. I am a former U.S. senator with time on my hands trying to have some fun, seeking a partner in crime and like-minded individual to explore the kind of ecstatic tantric pleasure I only get from giving tax cuts to private equity firms. I like Burning Man, CrossFit, cooking in fun fashion. You should have a lot of abs. Go on a road trip with me in a Eurovan to find Sasquatch, the Loch Ness Monster, and the American Swing Voter. Also open to couples. Let's get together for drinks and maybe more if the vibe is right. I'm a bratty sub and bang my clit with a gavel and tell me I was right all along.
Family show. Family show.
Do you know the way you're always wondering what to put on the merchandise? I think bang my clit with a gravel. Gavel even. Court is in session. Boom.
I think Michael Litt played for Gloucestershire in the 1970s, I think.
Yeah. Did you see? Is that the first cricket reference? Is that what the bell was?
No, it's when it gets dangerously close to puns, this gets going.
Oh, okay. That ship has sailed. And that's why you're in that T-shirt. I actually watched the State of the Union, and Joe, he was brilliant. I mean, the level of expectation was quite low, but they got the dosages right, because that man, I'd say he was in a darkened room until about 4 minutes before it, and then they just like took a hood off a falcon, and he was like, and he was getting heckled, and he was slamming the way you didn't hear when you were dying on your arse at the Birmingham Glee. He was slamming them back. He was like, I'm working here. I don't go to where you work, and slap the cocks out of your mouth. He wasn't doing that necessarily, but... But he was really on it, and he said that we will continue to send help to Ukraine, which is kind of cool. Ireland is against the cluster bombs that are being sent. A cluster bomb, we're against them in all the international treaties. A cluster bomb is a bomb that falls to a certain height and then separates into bomblets, and that destroys everything. And they're being sent to Ukraine, and we are against them because we've had Boyzone. And Boyzone were bad enough when they were together, but when they... when they separated and I started to release music indiscriminately, like a child could have picked up one of those albums. So we would be against those, generally speaking. So Biden was coming out and he was banging out these one-liners. He criticised his opposition for not voting for his famous Inflation Reduction Act, which is a bit weird seeing Republicans opposing the IRA is an unexpected move from where I'm from. And then Marjorie Taylor Greene got involved, that unhinged congresswoman. Somewhere between a human and, you know, the bit where the washing machine spin cycle goes absolutely f***ing mental. That's what she is. She's known as MTG. G stands for grey matter and MT stands for empty. And she thinks that forest fires in California were caused by Jewish space lasers. That's correct. Jewish space lasers. So they thought that the forest fires were created by these Jewish space lasers by some shadowy conglomerate of people who wanted to clear land to build a railway. So what that tells me is that it was within your people's power to build HS2, is what I'm trying to say here. And you didn't do it. What are you hiding?
Right.
What are you hiding?
Well, I mean, HS2 is not completely... they've just announced some new plans today. Actually, they've slightly changed the original plans. It's just going to run from London to London via Oxford, which is really, I think, the logical endpoint of all conservative infrastructure projects. Trump, NATO, said something a bit curious this week. He basically equated all...
spectacular workers.
He equated essentially all immigrants with Hannibal Lecter. He said they're rough people, in many cases from jails, prisons, from mental institutions, insane asylums. That's Silence of the Lambs stuff. You know, Hannibal Lecter, have you heard of Hannibal? I mean, does this show how badly out of control immigration has got in America that even completely fictitious immigrants are killing upstanding American citizens? It's so hard for an American to be killed by a genuine American nowadays. Well, I mean, what do you think Biden can do to balance that out?
Biden is trying to split the difference on anti-immigrant racism. He's trying to split the baby, which is a common strategy in politics. It works great unless you're the baby. He wants to compromise, do a little bit of racism, like, I'm okay with Mexicans, but it's okay to still be racist against people from El Salvador and Honduras. I'll deport people, but not call them poison in the blood of America, that kind of thing. And as you say, like, Marjorie Taylor Greene was upset about Lakin Riley, a college student who was murdered by an undocumented immigrant, because immigrants are taking our jobs. Only we are going to kill our white girls. No, we don't let immigrants kill our white girls.
I like the way you asked that question, how can you get an American to kill an American? And I think the answer is the age-old answer, you have to start in schools.
We've had some fairly dark jokes on the Bugle over the years, Neil, but I think that's like that shade of paint that is supposed to be infinitely black.
Google has launched a $5 million prize fund for people to find things that quantum computers can actually do. Because, I mean, to be honest, I don't understand. Whenever the word quantum just gets thrown around to stop people asking questions. Because as soon as someone says quantum, you think, oh, this is way beyond my level of human comprehension. You know, that's why, you know, the James Bond film Quantum of Solace, I couldn't watch it. But luckily we have two trained quantum physicists with us today. So they're trying to find ways to actually use these incredible computers that are almost so powerful that they have no application in the known universe. So how is Google intending to do this, Josh?
So I think this is actually a huge thing to do, right? Like, I think Google should have someone in charge of whenever they spend billions of dollars making a new kind of computer, just tapping the lead engineer and going, hey, why the fuck did you do that? I think it's important. It is, but this is the thing. They've launched a $5 million prize to find actual uses for these computers they've built. That's not a contest. That's a job. Give people money to do science for you, Google. You have all the money, and that's what it's for. Why are they treating quantum physics like a scratch-off lottery ticket? Do they think the world is just full of unemployed quantum scientists sitting around entering contests all day? No. I assume they're out there doing calculations on a dry erase board or listening to the Bugle and then writing me angry emails about how I misunderstand and mischaracterize their jobs. Just pay people to do things. That's what I do when I need something done. I don't offer a $50 prize for anyone who can figure out how to get me to the airport for a gig. I call a f***ing cab.
Alice, what are you going to enter this this competition?
I absolutely will. Even though the prize doesn't cover one of the most interesting parts of the problem, which is, as Bill Pfefferman at the University of Chicago says, they need to figure out algorithms that require a better understanding of how the computer works, such as how to deal with noise and errors. So basically, they've got computers that don't work very well and they're not sure what they're meant to do, which I think is like the perfect kind of computer. On the bright side, it being quantum, there is an alternate universe in which these computers have a purpose and work really well. So that's something.
Can any of you explain what quantum computers do here in Cambridge? No, correct. There we go.
I, I just want to hop in.
But
and
to be
say,
fair, someone who doesn't know what quantum computers would do would say they don't know what quantum computers can do. And somebody who does know what quantum computers do also knows that they don't know what quantum computers do.
Josh?
Andy, I love the crowd interactions you're having at this show. You've asked, does anyone know what quantum computers do? You've asked, does anyone have faith in democracy? And you've asked, does anyone like bees? Most comedy shows, I don't know if this audience knows this, the comedian just looks at the two people in the front row and goes, are you two f***ing? Sorry, boat announcement. I'm going to go on mute.
No, I want to hear the boat announcement.
All right, here it is.
I think we'll all feel safer.
I think the announcement is saying, if anyone sees a f***ing great iceberg, do let us know.
Sorry, just to go back to Bill Pfefferman, who's the University of Chicago professor in quantumness. He says, I'm very optimistic in principle that we'll find algorithms that are really useful, which is the words of a man who doesn't believe that they're going to find algorithms that are really useful.
Let's move on to the real power broker of American politics now, Taylor Swift, who, as we discussed a few weeks ago, is conducting a covert operation to swing the American election to the Democrats. And some exciting news that Taylor Swift was revealed by researchers to be, brace yourselves for one of the greatest celebrity link-ups of all time, the sixth cousin of the renowned 19th century poet Emily Dickinson. There they are together. Can you tell the... I mean, this sixth cousin, that, to me, that is too far removed to be relevant even in this Swift-obsessed age that we live in. Taylor Swift, for those who've not heard of her, the self-styled George Formby of the USA. And
Andy, you know what this means.
Shake it off when I'm cleaning windows.
Sorry,
Andy,
Nathan.
This means that Taylor Swift and Emily Dickinson can f*** each other without it being incest.
Well,
can you imagine how sad the songs and our poems would be after the breakup? this is a revelation in a long line of superstar kind of family revelations, isn't it? And connections. Boris Johnson, famously related to Hollywood royalty. His great-grandfather, I think, was born 9 months to the day after Lassie f***ed a mop.
Yeah, it's a fact.
Prince Harry is, through marriage, I think, very distantly related to King Charles. And music superstar The Weeknd. Do you know who his mum is? Doris Day. So Doris Day married Darren Day, and then rather than having 2 days, he just said, I call myself The Weeknd.
Family show. Extended family show. Emily Dickinson, 19th century avant-garde poet. Now, we pride ourselves at The Bugle on being remorselessly shit at self-promotion. But I don't think we can match Emily Dickinson. She published, I think, 10 poems out of more than 2,000 that she wrote. Only about 10 of them were actually published. So, and I don't think she had any merch whatsoever.
What pride yourself in being terrible at...
Well, no, it's not, pride is not the right word. But we are just shit at it.
I hadn't heard that.
Right. Some more... So, I mean, there's some other wonderful tenuous links between celebrities and historical figures that the researchers have found. The actor Timothy Chalamet, famously cloned numerous times to appear in every film, is the 18th cousin 31 times removed of the 14th century Italian literature whiz Dante. The tennis star Martina Navratilova is the great-great-great-great-great-grand-step-niece of a man who once met the great-great-great-grandmother of Laurel and Hardy. And the Luke Skywalker actor Mark Hamill is related by a series of marriages to the ancient Greek god Hermes, who actually did ironically literally walk across the skies and was also lukewarm about most things apart from being a messenger. And finally, both the gobshite pseudo-Republican provocateur Marjorie Taylor Greene and snooker legend Steve Davis are possibly members of the same species. So...
economics news!
here is an economics fan? Not many of you. Yeah, I mean, I don't understand economics, and I sincerely hope I die that way. I will consider that a life very well lived if I die in continued ignorance of economics. Fundamentally to me, economics is witchcraft in a pinstripe suit. Economics is the art of telling you exactly what's going to happen and then explaining why it did not. But there's been some big economic stories. We'll get onto the budget in a sec. But for fans of Bitcoin, what a week this week. Bitcoin has blasted through the $70,000 barrier. Now, Bitcoin is something we've touched on over the years. Alice, I know you're a massive fan of cryptocurrencies. but we pay you entirely in, I think, ephemero, is it? Or is it... pseudo dollars. I can't remember which one we actually use. But I mean, this is, in terms of fictional things being worth way more than they should be, this is a great day, isn't it?
Are you talking to me as a fictional thing who's worth way more than I should be, Andy?
Well, Australia doesn't exist, does it? I mean, we've been through this on the Bugle before. Australia does not technically. It's just it's a rumor.
Well, Andy, all of the headlines read that Bitcoin has risen above $69,000 in a new record high. 69, nice, get it? I wouldn't make that joke, Andy, except that it's the kind of joke that Elon Musk makes on X and then thousands of crypto bros leap into his comments to say, now this is what I call freedom of speech. Well done, sir. And fair play, he is one of the richest men in the world. Maybe today's the day he whimsically decides to grant $1 million to a randomly selected sycophant. It's not a lot stupider than buying Bitcoin as a way of making money. Anyway, I keep getting distracted when I start reading this story because of the 69 joke, because as a sex move, 69 is my least approved of sex move, because if you're doing a 69 successfully, one of you is doing it wrong. Ideally, somebody's giving head well enough that the other one can't do anything. That's the job. Sorry, I get to say, back to the story,
Family
Andy.
Show.
This is about Bitcoin.
Family show.
If you don't know what Bitcoin is, it is, depending on how you feel about it, either the stalwart proof of concept backbone of the revolutionary decentralized currency movement, or the Tinkerbell that the largest number of crypto bros are still clapping their hands for. If fueling the continued production of Tinkerbell were more energy intensive than running Brazil, it's doing quite well, Andy, because a number of U.S. regulators have recently approved a bunch of exchange traded funds earlier this year that track the price of Bitcoin, which makes it more legitimate, and it suggests that it might have more staying power.
I find it quite hard to understand Bitcoin, so I tried to write a book about it. I'll share a quick chapter from it now. Bitcoin doesn't fucking exist. If you want to know how it works, just fucking guess, or ask a brick, which will have as much chance of explaining to you coherently as a sentient human being. The value of Bitcoin has fluctuated throughout its made-up history, from not loads to fuck loads, back down to loads, then fuck loads again, then much less fuck loads, and now back up to even fuck loads, which, to be fair, is still well above its fundamental real terms value of absolutely fuck all! Obviously, hugely exciting week for economics fans with the budget last week. The nation on tenterhooks, people watching it on big screens in Hyde Park in London. They had to have a police cordon between the fiscal conservatives and them. Anyway, the two headline moves.
It's like I'm watching someone have a breakdown in real time.
Really? That's not the worst review I've had. the first review I had in the Edinburgh Festival in the year 2000, I was doing a show called The Comedy Zone with three other comedians, and the review in the Observer newspaper, grindingly mediocre.
See, sometimes they do get it right.
Right, you're fired. Conservatives are jumping ship, jumping their glorious Titanic after, I think this is their fourth consecutive snout first ramming into an iceberg over the in terms of different prime ministers. Theresa May, former prime minister, is quitting, one of 60 to go. Are you going to miss Theresa May, Neil?
Yeah, there's a load of them leaving. There she is now. She's famous for that dance, isn't she? The most wooden thing in the history of wooden things. She can't even retire to Turkey because they were afraid if she turns up, there'll be Greek soldiers inside her. I'm pretty sure that's libelous. I mean, my joke about ancient Troy is fine, but you suggesting that delighted I've dragged you down to my level. That's all.
The edit's going to be short this week, I feel.
So though a load of MPs are not standing again. Matt Hancock is resigned to spend more time with his conscience. And she's as if Brexit hasn't hammered English farmers enough. Now the wheat fields won't be safe with that utter loon running through them, running her hand around like a half-dead Russell Crowe at the end of Gladiator.
NATO, are you maybe Theresa May can go and sort out American politics the same way that she sorted ours out for us?
You know, Andy, as an American, I'm on a steep learning curve about your bullshit country and its political system. I think first of all, Theresa May I don't know what she's getting such a bad rap about. She's a better dancer than I am. You know, she shouldn't have come out to the song Dancing Queen. She should have walked out to a more appropriate song to her station, you know, Dancing Shadow Home Secretary or something. But about Theresa May, Damian Green said, quote, "She uses the commons to promote what she wants to promote. She's not over-interfering, but is talking sense." To me, that's not a description of a former prime minister. That's a description of a serial killer by their neighbor.
I mean, to Theresa May, I mean, she got a lot of criticism as prime minister. I think, to be fair to her, she did inherit a very difficult situation after the Brexit votes. But I don't think she played it as well. The way I see Theresa May as prime minister was like a golfer. In a foursomes game, where you take alternate shots, and her partner has just like shanked it way off to the right. It's gone behind some trees. It's in a nasty ditch. Her partner's then run off the course, giggling, to sit in his f***ing shed, and not disappear quite as much as he might have done. And she's there, very tricky lie. She's got a really difficult angle into the ground. She's got a tiny little gap in the tree. She's sat down. There's a really terrible lie. There's like loose wood and everything, and she can't quite say. There's a nasty breeze coming left to right as well, and she's got to get it over a lake and then down onto the green and then stop it before it runs off into the bunkers at the back. It's a really, really difficult shot, so she kind of lines up behind it, talks to her caddy about exactly what is the right club to use, and then she goes out, walks onto the fairway, just tries to get some mental image of the arc of the ball that she wants to achieve, and then she goes back to take another look up through the trees. She's got to test the wind one final time just to make sure that she's got all the calibration absolutely perfect for this shot, and then she stands over the ball once again and she walks over to her golf bag and takes out a sledgehammer and hammers the ball over and over again into the ground, shouting, "Get in the hole." So that is how I would explain the Theresa May prime ministership. Bit of sport. Right.
Bees. I like the fact that while the bee sound was on, you had the graphic of Marjorie Taylor Greene just buzzing like a...
Yeah.
I think it's the most coherent thing she's ever said, to be honest.
And here she is again. Yeah.
Are you Bees fans? Yeah. Yeah? Not for me. I mean, that's, to me, the bee... In fact, all insects are proof of the non-existence of God. Or God just being f***ing lazy and letting that shit through the net. But some very alarming news from the bee community that humans are being overtaken by bees, because scientists have proved that bees can learn lessons from other bees to make things better for themselves. Now, that's a quality that we humans, it's hard to believe now, were once thought to possess. So bees could be the next breakthrough species to develop a complex culture like humans once did. This could involve bee society evolving to create things once thought to be exclusively the preserve of humanity, such as cave paintings, bingo, and racism. Alice, I know you've been our bee correspondent for quite a long time on the Bugle. This must justify everything you've devoted your life to for bee rights.
Andy, I find this enraging. All these scientific studies trying to humanize bees so we'll value these load-bearing pillars of our precariously balanced ecosystem for their essential pollinating work. Ooh, they can cooperate. Ooh, they can do maths. They have nothing on humans. They will never be humans, Andy. They should stop trying. It's pathetic. I will attribute human qualities to bees when they can do things actual humans can do, like hold a grudge for 20 years or cheat on their wives or their taxes. Cooperation? Maths? I can't do maths and I only cooperate on a good day. F*** that. Give me bees with a pathological desire to people please. Give me bees who hate their bitch aunt. Give me bees with lipstick on their collars phoning the queen to say they're stuck at flower office and not to wait up for them. Give me bees accidentally texting God I loathe that f*** to the c*** they just flew away from. Then I will believe in the humanity of a bee, Andy.
Someone had to say it. It's about time someone took those f***ers down a peg or two, to be honest. Josh, do you think bees will remain legal in America?
Oh, yeah, but you can shoot them with a gun if they get too close to you. Yeah, it is. This is tough. I mean, this is again, something we knew for a long time. Bees, of course, can work together for complex tasks. They make honey perfectly every time. I don't have that kind of track record when I cook. I completely go, ah, shit, forgot the pollen. Never once. And we can't stop using bee pesticides, right? They're saying we have to stop using bee pesticides because we know more about bees and they're more human. I'm with Alice. We can't stop using these pesticides because now that we know what these bees are capable of, we have to wipe them all out. We cannot let the living bees with memories of what we've done to their ancestors survive because they will team up, they will collaborate, and they will wreak vengeance upon the human race.
That's what I mean. We are locked
in. I mean, the quickest way for bees to wreak vengeance on the human race is by killing themselves, which is what bees do when they try to wreak vengeance. So I feel like this is fair.
And we are locked in an evolutionary race. We are still currently top dog, ahead even of the dog after whom the position was named. But this is further evidence that they're catching us up. So in this experiment, the bees volunteered, I think, to take part in an experiment where in order to gain access to a treat, which was some sugared water, they had to push a blue lever, then a red lever, which is a slightly more complex testing procedure than the Conservative Party used for vetting potential prime ministers. But it's interesting that they will catch us up. I mean, I don't know what the bee ceiling is. I mean, can they learn other things that generally set us apart from animals? Obviously, they've already mastered a slavish adherence to an outdated monarchical system. We taught them very well on that one. But could they develop means of killing millions of other bees at the simple press of a button or the propensity to share videos of other bees without their underpants on? I still think they've got... could they invent really stupid games with really stupid rules that take way too long, that some really stupid people take far too... Who the f*** wrote this shit? It's into my script. In other bee news, Labour, the Labour Party, has promised to end exemptions for bee-killing pesticides that have been outlawed in the European Union, but which the current government has approved for 4 years in a row, which is a glorious benefit of Brexit. A more poisonous countryside to go with our more poisonous society. The government authorised the use of thiamethoxam, which is also known as Cruiser SB, which I think was your hip-hop name, wasn't it, Chris?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
But, I mean, this is basically the only discernible change since Brexit, I think, is the fact that we can now poison more of our bees for fun. So, was it all worth it? Are you Brexit fans here in Cambridge? Really? No, that's very much what the rest of Britain thinks. I mean, even a young Australian baby basically expresses our nation's views on Brexit, I think.
Andy, so many of these, like, conservative environmental policies are, like, the new diet of policy reform, where they're like, we know that cigarettes are killing us and we have just been diagnosed with the black lung, but we did just buy a duty-free carton on our way back from Thailand, so we might as well quit after we finish that pack.
Thank you for listening. Our live tour continues this weekend on Saturday the 16th of March at the Warwick Arts Centre, then on the 24th in Leeds, the 28th in Edinburgh and the 30th at the Lowry in Salford. You can be there And you will be there, won't you? Details at thebuglepodcast.com or elsewhere on the internet. Do support all our wonderful Bugle co-hosts. Find them on the internet. Oh, hang on, that's a more efficient way of plugging stuff. Yeah, I'll just leave that with you. Yep. Until next week, goodbye.